And so on about a number of occasions during the course of this week, we're going to have some reports from some of these brethren who have had the privilege of traveling overseas. We're going to begin that tonight, the report by Brother Tim Krupa of recent trips that he has made to India and to Romania. And if he doesn't fall down, we'll get him up here to give us the report. Brother Tim.
On the top of the instrument with the lower left-hand corner. It's a blue box, the dissolve unit. It's got a white little... I was overseas for a month, and I hope very much in the time that I have this evening that I can give you some feeling, some emotion of the absolutely wonderful time that I had. I'm happy to make this presentation, especially because I promised the brethren in Romania that everywhere I went, I would tell their story. Romania is tucked away in the southeastern part of Eastern Europe. It's a poor country with an average monthly salary of about $125. And unfortunately, the goods and services cost the same as they do in this country. So you can imagine that the $125 doesn't go too far. For 1 week, I traveled with a group of brethren visiting a number of the Romanian classes. The classes are basically concentrated in the north part of Romania, which is known as Transylvania. We would pretty much use the same scenario at each of the towns. First, I would give greetings. I would tell a little bit about my family, the ecclesia, the associations with whom I work. And then, much as Brother Mike Balco said this afternoon, I would give a quick synopsis of the things that we generally believe. In perhaps 3 to 5 minutes, I would list through the basic doctrines that we study and that we teach. I would pass around photos of our class, the family, many convention pictures, pictures of the convention chorus, and I had a picture of the dawn plant. Next, I would give a short discourse, usually about 30 minutes. My translator was Sister Betty Precup, and she was an excellent translator. As you know, I use my hands a lot when I talk, and I caught her during the week using her hands just the way I would use my hands. That's what you call a good translator. After that discourse, we would have a question meeting and a discussion meeting. And usually that would last for about an hour and a half. The largest city, the largest class is in Cluj. The Sunday meeting would have about 120, and perhaps in the summer this number would grow to around 200 when the outlying brethren can travel in. The questions they asked were on revelation, on chronology. They asked, how do we study? How do we pick our studies? They wanted to know if we thought Jesus was in the tomb 3 full days or just parts of 3 days. They asked about 1881. They wanted to know, what age are we in? What is the work of each age? Is the Lord present? There were a lot of questions on Israel because that was in the daily news. They wanted to hear why we believe the high calling is still open. They wanted to know if we believe the sleeping saints had been raised. And after I would give my opinion, I'd give the scriptures that I thought were relevant. I would then ask their opinion. Every time I would ask, what are your feelings? What are your thoughts? What are your opinions? And I would say that 98 times out of 100, their response was, we see it the same way you do. The language of Romanian sounds a lot like Italian. There are some French sounds, some Slavic words, some spoke English, especially the young people, and a number spoke French. My communication was about 50% in English and about 40% in French. I used the 7 Romanian words that I used to very great extent. I learned the word for good, very good, very, very good, thank you, and it's my pleasure. That evening, after the Sunday meeting in Cluj, we had an elders meeting, and I collected an awful lot of good, positive information to bring back here to the brethren concerning the work and the publications there. Now, a brief history of the truth movement in Romania. The truth came to Romania in the days of Brother Russell. After Brother Russell died, the changes that shook the truth movement in this country did not impact Romania until the early 1930s. Those who separated from the Watchtower in Romania in 1930 had no idea that similar separations had taken place all over the world. The years that followed were very hard times for the Brethren of Romania. The various governments that controlled Romania were so oppressive that any religious activity was done at the risk of your life. Their Bibles, their books, the volumes that they had were kept in suitcases so that if the police came to the front door, they could leave by the back door with the books. So they met secretly. Events like funerals brought open persecution. Many brethren were put in prison. But the oppression kept them together. In 1989, that's just 5 years ago, a brother showed a smuggled package he had received from a relative in Canada. It contained a Dawn magazine and 2 convention programs. They toyed with the idea of writing to the Dawn, but they decided that it would be way too dangerous. But the idea would not exactly die. And later, 2 brothers and 2 sisters decided to draft a letter and have it smuggled out to Hungary and then mailed from there. They felt that would be safer. But you know, they couldn't even get the letter out of Romania to get it into Hungary. All their contacts were afraid to carry it because now searches were being made at all the borders. So the letter sat on the shelf for several months. They just didn't know what to do next. And they were curious as to whether the report of these other Bible students had any validity. Were they truly Bible students or were they just Jehovah's Witnesses? The letter sat on the shelf. Toward the end of 1989, the lid blew off of Eastern Europe. The Berlin Wall came down. The communists were removed from power in several countries. And in December of 1989, an armed revolution erupted in Romania and removed the madman Ceausescu and executed him. Romania declared her independence, and the next day, that letter was mailed. This was the beginning of our contact with these brethren. In America, those that have left the Watchtower have assumed many names. Associated Bible Students, Church of LA, different things like that. I asked the Romanians, what were you called? What label or name did you go by? They had to think for a minute because there was no organization. It was like an underground group. They told me they didn't have a name. But they were known as the people who talk about the millennium. I think that's a great story. I hope that we can be known as those people who talk about the millennium. And now, I would like to have you meet some brethren on a personal level. And first, I would like to introduce you to a good friend of mine, Brother Cornell Bree. Number 2 mic, please. We need volume on number 2 mic. Is the switch up? Okay, please come up here. That's not working. Keep trying it.
Greetings, dear brethren. I am Cornell Bree. My first name is actually Cornelius, as in Cornelius, the first Gentile convert. I am one of 7 elders in the Ecclesia of Cluj. We elected elders for the first time in 1990. Because of the extreme political oppression in Romania, it was dangerous to have designated leaders. We would meet when we could, and at each meeting we would decide what to study and who would be the leader. We wondered many times if there were brethren outside of Romania. We heard the rumors that such was the case in America. It was a great blessing to finally make contact with you. We send you our warm Christian greetings. We greatly appreciate the various ways you have helped us. My family and I are looking forward to seeing some of you at the International Convention this summer. God bless you.
Now I would like you to meet Sister Elizabeth Precup.
Greetings to my dear brethren in America. I think of you very often and have fond memories of my trip in the United States. I was born on November 17, 1940. My mother was in the Truth, and as a youngster I read what Truth literature there was in our home. One of my most vivid memories as a child were the pictures from the photodrama. I always knew I would consecrate, but it was not until after my mother died in 1982 that I was finally moved to make a decision. I consecrated in 1984. I really enjoy my work translating Truth literature into Romanian. As you may know, the original Truth literature from the days of Pastor Russell and the early days of the Watchtower was translated into Romanian from Hungarian. Not only that, but the Romanian was of very, very poor quality. So we are now working on a translation of the first volume that will be much more understandable. We expect to finish it soon. I send you all my greetings with Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord, so that, dear brethren, in both good times and bad.
Now I'd like you to meet an outstanding young man from Romania, Christy.
Hello, dear brethren in America. I am your brother, Christian. Most of the friends call me Christy. I live in Cluj with my parents and younger brother. I am presently a student at the University in Cluj, and am studying industrial robotics. I was born on May 20, 1974. All of my family is in the Truth. My grandparents on both sides of the family were also in the Truth. I am very grateful for this privilege, and I was baptized last year on August the 29th. I am also grateful for my opportunities of traveling with some of our American visitors. Because I do speak English, I was blessed with the opportunity of doing some translating for our visitors. I would like to particularly encourage some of the young American brethren to come and visit Romania. Ask Brother Tim what a good time he had. We have deep love in the Lord for you all, your brother in Jesus Christ, Christian. God bless you.
Thank you. overwhelmed by the love of the Romanian brethren. We cried together many times, and we laughed together many times. The biggest compliment they gave me was that I brought them love. And I didn't take them my love. I took them your love. I told them about how we meet together, how we convention together, how we sing together. And because of the severe oppression that that country had suffered, because of the persecutions that they had suffered, because of Ceausescu's madness, because of the mental suffocation and the economic hardships and deprivations, I was expecting to meet a very depressed group of people. I was expecting to meet people worn out in well-doing. I was expecting to meet brethren who were tired from struggling. I was expecting to see sadness lining their faces. But look at that. I found the opposite. I found happiness, joy, rejoicing, laughter. I found out that they had a sense of humor. I didn't find depressed people. I found healthy people, spiritually alive. Oh, they were so vibrant. They were vital. They were robust. They were energetic. It was nothing but a privilege to be with them. And I can see how anybody would want to go visit these brethren in Romania. It's a miracle of the Holy Spirit. This is a miracle of the Holy Spirit that they were there with no outside inputs or nothing, and they kept the truth. And the truth grew with them. And they understand current events just like we do. That's a miracle. Not that we have the message. It proves that we don't have the truth and have to give it to somebody. It proves that the Holy Spirit gives the truth. Their favorite hymn was number 66. God has promised a glorious day, and by faith we now see it draw near. In the sweet by and by. They sang that over and over again. I was very thankful for the opportunity I had of visiting them, and I would consider it a privilege if I could go back again. Paul, can you advance that projector ahead one? I think we're out of sync. Okay, thank you. Greetings from India. One of the major purposes of this year's trip to India was to deliver a new videotape of the public meeting for this cause. This is the first videotape presentation of a truth message in an Indian language. The language is Tamil. This is the language of the southern Indian state of Tamil Nadu. The brethren in India translated the script, and the narration was made by this gentleman, Sri Kant, who now lives in Portland, Oregon. He just recently arrived from India to study for his PhD in computer science. And the final product was put together by the Tabaks. In addition to the video, we took them projection equipment, amplifier equipment, totally suitable for putting on an auditorium presentation, public meeting for this cause. The video was very well received, and it was deemed by all to be extremely useful. And I felt so good. They were very impressed by the narration of the gentleman from Portland. Brother Dan Trina was my travel partner in India, and he did very well in all aspects, and he was actually indispensable in dealing with electronics and electricity of this third world country. We did the things that all visiting pilgrims do to India, and that is attend their general convention, visited classes, visited the brethren in their homes. We also discussed financial matters with them, because our committee does support them financially as far as witnessing and the publishing work. They want to put on public meetings with their new videotape. And I received a letter on Thursday from Brother I.A. Joseph, and he said that just prior to his writing, they had a public meeting in a church 1/2 mile from their normal meeting place, and they had 450 in attendance. And he said they now are expecting an invitation to come back to the church and serve with a discourse. The problem is that they don't own automobiles, and they're going to need help to even transport the equipment from city to city. We've given them the equipment, and now we kind of realize, how are they going to get it around? We calculated that on the average, $100 would cover all the costs for a public meeting. Transportation costs, advertising costs, renting a hall, they could do all of that for $100. Maximum. I'm hoping, and I guess this is flat out a solicitation, I'm hoping that we will find it in our hearts to help them with the expenses of their public meetings. These are incredibly zealous brethren. We've given them a tool now, and they're going to just wear it out. There's another area in which I'd like to ask your help, and that has to do with next year's trip to India. For the last 10 or 12 years, one or two representatives of the Northwest Committee for India have been making a trip to India. For next year, we are making an open invitation to anyone who might be interested in going as part of a small group to next year's India General Convention. We will help with the arrangements. We know which hotels are good to stay at now. We know the good places to eat. We know the things to avoid. We know how to arrange the transportation. And there's some, naturally, this is not an inexpensive trip, but I do have a flyer here from the Northwest Committee now that outlines the trip. And I hope that some of you will very, very seriously consider this kind of effort. If you can't go in 1995, next year, then come and tell us that you'd love to go and that maybe you could go in 1996, if the Lord wills. India is a difficult environment in which to live and in which to be a Christian. They have to contend with so many things. There are so many people there. Almost 1 billion people now living in India. Very shortly, it will surpass China as the most populated nation on the face of this earth. At times, it's noisy. There's bedlam. There's commotion. There's crowds. There's dust, diesels. People are living on the streets. They're sleeping on the streets. There's people dying on the streets. And in a religious sense, you know, we talk a lot about the nominal churches, Babylon this and Babylon that. Brethren, you haven't seen Babylon until you go to a country like this. This is the land of snake charmers. This is the land of heathen temples. This is the land of satanic statues and images. There is no religious confusion like this kind of confusion. You get the feeling that evil spirits and spiritism abound, and you steel yourself with the scriptures against all kinds of such thoughts. But to see consecrated brethren living in this kind of environment, living a life of sacrifice, developing Christ-like characters in this kind of environment, it's another miracle of the Holy Spirit. This brother, to me, is one of the best examples of the miracles of the Holy Spirit. This is Brother Naresh. Formerly, he was a Hindu. He believed in cow gods, animal dogs, stone gods, tree gods. And now, he's running for the prize of the high calling. He understands the two salvations. He understands the covenant. He understands God's plan. He understands the truth. And his life shows it. That's a miracle. Now I have two first-person reports from India. And first of all, I'd like you to meet a good friend of mine, Brother Joseph.
In America, I'm Brother Joseph. I live in the city of Coimbatore in South India. Our class is the largest ecclesia in India. We have about 120 who meet with us. In the arrangement of our gospel work here in India, I have the responsibility of being editor of the monthly magazine called The Bible Student. When I was 15 years old, I entered a Catholic seminary to study for the priesthood. The books in the seminary library were covered with dust, but I stirred up the dust and I studied everything. I was always interested in languages, and I especially enjoyed Greek and Hebrew. But I must tell you, I also enjoyed the Shakespeare and poetry. I was in the seminary for 5 years. I wrote a book of poems regarding Isaiah 35 and Isaiah 65. My book of poems was put on display at a Bible exposition sponsored by the seminary. While I was there with my book of poems, a man came by and asked me if I knew what these passages from Isaiah were talking about. He asked me if I understood about the coming millennial age. This was my introduction to God's plan, and shortly thereafter, I consecrated to the high calling, 1975. Please pray for my continued efforts in spreading the gospel and feeding the flock. I have lost the sight in my right eye. The 3 attempts of laser surgery were of no avail, and I have lost my right ear hearing also. But I am determined to continue on as the Lord permits. I send you greetings with 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 2 through 4.
And now from Bangalore, I'd like you to meet Brother Daniel.
Greetings, dear brethren in America. I am Brother Daniel from Bangalore. Special greetings to the brethren in America who have visited India. We remember their visits with fondness. In my secular work, I was trained as a locomotive engineer. I did that for 39 years. I greatly appreciate my retirement benefit of free travel on the railway system. This allows me to visit the scattered classes, perform weddings, and help the brethren throughout southern India. I now serve as the chairman of the Indian Bible Students Committee. We appreciate all of the assistance we receive from you brethren overseas. We especially appreciate the work done on the public meeting video for this cause. It will be very useful to us. We have much work to do, and sometimes it seems that there are not enough hands to do it. But we carry on, and we want your help. We hope that many more of you will come and visit us. Thank you, and God bless you.
In closing, I would like to say that there seems to be a similarity in my mind as to what each of these countries need. And it's more than books, it's more than literature, it's more than equipment. The feeling I came away with is that their biggest need is to have contact with us. They need our fellowship. Brethren need to be together. They need to see us, they need to feel us, to hear us, they need to ask us questions, they need for us to ask them questions. I know that you pray for these brethren each night. And my prayer is that some of the visuals that you have seen tonight will give you a mental image, and that when you kneel down and pray for the brethren around the world, that you now will remember one or two faces, and that will draw us closer together in the bonds of Christian love. You know, the brethren in India also have a favorite hymn. It's the one that they ask for more than any other. Guess what number it is? 66. God has promised a glorious day, and by faith we now see it draw near, in the sweet by and by. That's kind of a miracle, isn't it? The miracle is the Holy Spirit, dear brethren. Thank you, and may the Lord add his blessings.
Thank you. Excuse me. Thank you, Brother Tim, for those reports on Romania and India. We have a couple of announcements before we conclude this evening. There is a... Wait a minute. Let me get my note out here. There will be adult swimming tonight and every night of the convention from 9 to 10 p.m., If parents wish to bring their children, please see that they're supervised. There won't be any supervision of children, so you must take care of that yourself. We will be having an ice cream social immediately following our conclusion here this evening. That'll be, of course, over in the Student Union building where we have our meals. You're invited to participate in both the ice cream and the fellowship. Tomorrow morning, as you're coming to breakfast, you might take a little time to view a witness presentation that's going to be on one of the local TV stations, a presentation called God's Kingdom. It's a film presentation. It will be on KQTV, which is Channel 2, at 8 o'clock tomorrow morning. This is a witness that is being put on by the convention here. On one of the local TV stations, there is a TV in the lobby area of the Student Union building. And so if you wish to view that tomorrow morning, either before or after you eat breakfast, we hope to have it on view there for you to see. We'd like to close with one verse of hymn number 66, as was suggested. Before we do that, though, we must have the songs in the night read. We're going to ask our brother Michael Strickland from Louisville, Alabama, to read our songs in the night for July 16. Sorry.
July 16, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. Acts 14:22. Our word tribulation is derived from the Latin word tribulum, the name of a roller or thrashing machine used in olden times for cleaning wheat and removing it from the outer husk or chaff. How appropriate the thought when applied to the Lord's consecrated people who in the Scriptures are symbolized by wheat. Our new natures are the kernel, the real wheat. Yet this treasure or valuable part is covered with a husk of earthly conditions. And in order that the wheat may be properly ready for the gardener and for usefulness, it is necessary that each grain shall pass through the tribulation necessary to separate those qualities which, until separated, render us unfit for service, for future service to which we are called by the Lord. In proportion as we are able to utilize our own imperfections and perfect the will of God concerning us, we will be unable to bear patiently, and even with a certain kind of rejoicing, all the tribulations which the Master shall see best to let upon us, we glory in tribulations also.
Thank you, Brother Michael. Let us now turn to hymn number 66. Let us rise and sing the first verse of number 66, after which Brother Tim will dismiss us for the day in prayer.
Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the many blessings that you have given unto us. We thank you first for the gift of your Son. We thank you for what we know of your plans and purposes. We thank you for the hope of the high calling. This day, dear Father, our hearts are overflowing for the privilege that we have had of meeting here together. We thank you for every word that we have heard this day. We thank you for the thoughts that have stirred our hearts and minds. We thank you for the time that we have spent together. and we are offering to you the praise of our lips as a small token of our love for you. While we are enjoying these blessings, dear Father, we are also mindful of those scattered the world over who are not as fortunate as we are, who do not have the opportunities of meeting so peacefully and so quietly as we do. We ask that you would be with them in a special way, especially our brethren in the third world countries, not only the brethren we have spoken of this evening, but also the brethren in Africa. Father, we thank you for all these things. We pray for more of your Holy Spirit. We ask that you would go with us as we part this evening, and if it be your will, that we might gather again tomorrow. Thank you, dear Father. In Jesus' name.